New Testament reading is taken from Paul's epistle to the 2 Corinthians, the second epistle to the Corinthians, and I'll be reading chapters 5, verse 20 through 6, 10. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I helped you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. I'd like to introduce Father Michael Santangelo. We are enjoying fellowship together, and I'll leave it up to him to tell you the rest of the story.
This evening we have a reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. It's from chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, followed by 16 through 18. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have had their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So I begin this evening first by saying that I'm very grateful once again to be able to come together with our friends from St. Paul's to share this evening together. You know, there's a lot more that binds us together than what that would separate us, and it's important for us to look for the opportunities to share in the common prayer that we can have together. And so it's a pleasure to be here this evening. As Pastor Allen was saying, you know, last week we had the opportunity, you know, and I won't say anything perhaps about your pastor, but Being Italian, we like to do everything around food. Okay. So we got together for breakfast, right? And unfortunately, I got called to the hospital right before we ordered, and right as we were about to finish up, so I got to duck out on the check. The reality is, though, while I was away, when I came back, a pastor shared with me that one of the gentlemen who was sitting at the next table over, you know, asked, "Is that a priest who's sitting with you?" And he asked this of the gentleman that owns the place. He asked the pastor, he said, "Well, yes, sir. Well, I'm willing to pay for his check, not for that guy in the Eagles jersey." And believe it or not, that's actually what he did. You know. But fortunately, you know, the gentleman that owns the establishment is such a wonderful man. He was kind enough to cover the rest of the bill for us. You know, avoided a very awkward situation about fighting. You know, I'll share the truth with you. Every time we do get together, one of the biggest things that we try to do is make sure that the waitress knows that I'm the one who's supposed to get the check, as he's doing the very same thing. You know. But we had that wonderful opportunity to come together and talk about what it is that we do. And I think as we enter into the season of Lent, which is what we mark this evening, it's important for us, as I said, to remember and to reflect on those things that can bind us together. You know, we are all called, as best we can, to be imitators of Christ. And during this Easter season, during this Lenten season, as we get ready for Easter, we're called to see, well, what is it in our own lives that we might perhaps need to do differently, that we might perhaps need to change a bit? And so when we come together on Ash Wednesday, you know, at Epiphany, we're a ritual church, so we always have signs and symbols and what have you for various things. And we begin the Lenten season by signing the forehead with ashes. And we always read the gospel that we've just heard. And as I shared with the people earlier today, as I was, taking care of one of the masses we had, I love the fact that as soon as we come together for Ash Wednesday to enter into the holy season of Lent, we're presented with the gospel that Christ says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them." And we put big crosses of ashes on our foreheads. Okay? It's important for us to actually look at that. Well, why is it that we do this? It is going to be kind of hard to miss when we're out in the world around us. You know, I vividly remember when I was, sometimes the young people I work with kind of make me feel a bit, well, the word I usually use is experienced. Mm-hmm. They say old. Okay. Yeah, but when I was back in college, I was involved in campus ministry there, and on Ash Wednesday, a couple of us decided we were going to share our meal together, and we went to the Commons, the dining hall, and the person behind the counter that was serving the food was going about her job, doing a thorough job as she would, and we then came in line, looking like this. I was like, you say, "Hi, how are you?" You know, it's kind of hard to miss. And I think that's a good thing because it makes it so that we need to be aware that people now see something about us, that people see that we are proclaiming to the world in a very simple way that we are striving to be the followers of Christ. And I think when we look at this particular gospel, Christ is not saying to us, if you're going to do something pious, if you're going to do something righteous, if you're going to do something according to my will for you, make sure nobody sees it. He's saying to us, don't do it so that other people will see it. You know, he's talking to us about making sure that our motivation is pure. You know, I will be perfectly honest. I love the reaction when the half dozen of us from the campus ministry group all went to eat together, and everybody was watching. Yeah, we kind of missed the point at that time, because our motivation shouldn't be to make sure that other people see what we're doing and say what great, what pious, what holy people we may be. Our motivation should simply be that we are striving to live what Christ calls us to be the best follower of him that we can be. And yes, that will mean that the lives we live should be an example to others. But the purpose for our living them is not to attract attention to ourselves, but to give the glory to God who has given us the grace to accomplish what it is he asks of us. And then we have in this gospel the traditional practices in the Catholic Church that are, we hold to during Lent. And that's really the reason that this is the gospel that we have this day. In the first one, we're told, when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Well, I have to be honest with you. Before I began my studies for the priesthood, I was studying to be an accountant. When you give alms, I don't care if your left hand knows what your right hand is doing, make sure you balance your checkbook. Okay. You do have to have some sense of awareness, but he's saying don't do it for the wrong reasons. Do it because we recognize the blessings that our God has given to us. And I say to my people often that the blessings that we receive are never given to us to be hidden away. But they're given to us first so that we can recognize the love that our God has for us, but to share with others so that they too might come to recognize and understand that they are blessed by God. And then if we all recognize the blessings our God has given to us, strive to share them with others, we will be able to continue to transform the world into the world that our God has created it to be. And then Christ talks about prayer. And it is something that is very important for us. I often share with the young people that I work with. I say, consider this. You have that friend who the only time you ever hear from them is when they want something from you. How long do you think you will tolerate their friendship? So we'll consider this. If the only time we ever turn to God is when we are in need, we have the fortunate situation that our God's love for us is unconditional, but we need to be changed and transformed by that love. We need to continue to build up the relationship we have with our God. And the strongest and the best way we can do that is entering into deeper and more frequent prayer. And not just prayer in the language of my church of petition, but of gratitude, thanking God for those blessings, recognizing what it is that God has done for us, praise of God, where we acknowledge that it is only through God that good can come into the world, that good has come into the world, and time where we just try to be in the presence of God. And so during the Lenten season, we're called to find and to strive to enter into prayer more frequently. And then we have the final one, my favorite, fasting. Mm-hmm. I shared with the people of the that were gathered at 12 o'clock for Mass earlier. I said, for some, they look at Lent as the church-prescribed period of dieting. That's not what it's about, okay? I did tell them I had a doctor's appointment yesterday. As Sharon knows, I went to my endocrinologist, or as mom says, that's the diabetes doctor, right? I say, yeah, ma, that's the one, right? And my numbers were all good. My A1C was good. My blood sugar was good. My cholesterol was, my triglycerides, not so much. A little high. And if you know anything about that, you all know the first thing that she said to me. Well, Father, the easiest way to lower your triglycerides is to lower your weight. So I smiled and said, well, Lent starts tomorrow, so I'll work on that. Okay. But one of the reasons we fast, one of the reasons we're called to fasting, is not so much that some of us enjoy the blessings of God a little too much, but because we need to remind ourselves of a very important reality. I said it to 12, and I had several hours. I could have done the research. But I forgot to look up who said it. So I'm going to pretend that it's my quote. No, I'll eventually remember who said it. But in one of my books I read, one of the spiritual readings I've done, the author was making a very important point. And he says it's necessary for us to recognize that we are not bodies that have a soul, but we are souls that have a body. Ultimately, it's our soul that is going to endure forever. You know, we pray for the resurrection of the body in my church, and we talk about that as being a glorified body, and I say, thank you, Jesus, because this one ain't going to cut it too much. Okay? But the important thing for us to remember is that it's not the things of this passing world that are important, but it's those things that will lead us to the eternity that our God has planned for us. And so when we fast, we do so in a certain way to remind us of what is truly important. And that has come into the common or traditional practice in our church, in the Catholic Church, of a question that I know many of my parishioners have probably heard several times already today. So what are you giving up for Lent? Mm-hmm. And that's an old practice in the church. It's been around for a lot longer than I have. And I'll share with you the first time I was, you know, my first Lent, I was in a parish. We had a thriving school. And I tried to visit the classrooms as often as I could. And I got to know a number of the young people. And God bless her, little Laura, who I realized at the 12 o'clock today, I probably shouldn't call her little Laura, because she was in the third grade at the time, and that was 22 years ago. Mm-hmm. She probably has her own little Laura at this point. But I just remember her as this sweet little beautiful child who was so excited to tell me when I went into her classroom, Father Mike, do you know as a class what we decided we were going to give up for Lent? I said, well, no, Laura, I just walked in. I have no idea. Why don't you tell me? Well, we decided we're going to give up cake and cookies. I said, ooh, that's going to be tough. I wish you well with that. I should have turned around and walked out at that point, because she then said, and we think you should give up soda. And for those of you, actually most of you don't know this, I don't drink coffee. I don't drink tea. I've always drank entirely too much soda. Even in my first assignment, I was one of the worst addicts. I would take one bottle, I would drink it, and start the next one as soon as the first one. At night, I had a little IV stand. I would hang it up. I wasn't quite that bad. But caffeine can cause addiction. And when I decided, I told her, I said, well, if all of you are giving up cake and cookies, I will try to give up soda for Lent. That worked well on Ash Wednesday, on the following Thursday. By Friday lunch, it was not beneficial to me nor to anyone that I came into contact with. Mm-hmm. If you've ever gone cold turkey from caffeine, it's not pleasant. Okay. Unfortunately, as a diabetic, I've kicked the caffeine habit. I had no choice in the matter. I like my parts. Yeah, but at the time, I thought, well, if the kids were going to have this, take this challenge on as their spiritual father, I should set an example for them and do that as well. Worst decision I had made. The reality is, for those of us that are deciding, what is it we might be able to do? What sacrifice might we be able to make so that this Lenten season will be an effective one for us? I offer you the caution that if that sacrifice is going to cause you to be miserable, if it's going to cause detriment to your own spiritual being and that of others, pick something else. Okay? And so tonight, as we come together in prayer, perhaps we should ask our God to grant us a grace to be able to recognize, well, maybe not what I think I should do during Lent, but what is it that God is calling me to do during this Lent? You know, it's a season of preparation. In our church, it's a bit of a penitential season, so that we can, in a very real way, get right with that. I was about to say get right with God, and that reminds me of something. I was blessed this past summer. I had the opportunity to spend it's about 5 weeks out at Philmont Scout Ranch in New Mexico. I'll share with you, I'm afraid of heights. If you don't know, Philmont is on the side of a mountain. Mm-hmm. As a chaplain, I got to drive those roads. It was a wonderful experience, especially as I was driving along the one road where there was absolutely nothing on the side but a huge drop. Yeah, Jesus and I had a wonderful conversation about that. But the first time I had to take a driving test, I passed the classroom part, and now I had to drive in what we call the back country, where we were going out to do services, and there was a Pastor Wally with us, myself and a Father Kevin, and we're going out to one of the higher camps. I had never driven in the back country before. I had ridden on this road before, and I knew all of the fall-offs. And so I was getting more and more anxious. Then, of course, Father Kevin turns to me and says, "Here you go. You're driving." And so we picked up Pastor Wally, and I shared with him. I said, "Pastor, I think it's important that you know I'm afraid of heights." And God bless him, he looked at me and said, "Well, Mike, just take it as slow as you need to." I said, "That's good." I put the vehicle into drive. We started to move, and the doors lock automatically, at which point I just look over my shoulder at Pastor Wally and says, "I got a question for you. Are you right with God?" He looked at me and said, "Well, I hope so, but I'd like to not find out, so keep it on the road." Right? But actually, Lent is a time where we can't ask ourselves that question. And, you know, it's not a traditional question that we ask in my church, but it's an important question for us. What is our relationship with God? And that would be the way that we ask it. Do we need to look at our lives and remove something from it that hinders us in it? Or should we be looking at our lives and see, well, what should we add to our lives that would bring us closer to our God? That's what Lent is about, helping us to be the Christians that our God is calling us to be, helping us to see what type of example we're giving to the world of what it means to be a follower of Christ. Then in a very short while, we'll bless the ashes. Always got to make sure I say that word slowly. Okay. We bless the ashes, and we'll be distributing them. And there's a couple of different expressions or prayer sayings that we can do. And it's my preference, and I ask the others to do as well, that tonight we use the same one, and we say, "Repent and believe the good news." That's my favorite option. One of the others, and one of my more experienced parishioners, asked me today, "Well, Father, whatever happened to remember you are dust and unto dust you shall return?" I said, "Oh, it's still in there. But I figure when this turns to dust, somebody's got a lot of vacuuming to do, so I don't want to remember." Okay? But no, the reason that I choose that one, and I have a preference towards that one, I said, if we look at the scriptures, when Christ first began his public ministry, as recorded in Mark's gospel, the first thing he proclaims is that we should repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what the good news is. And so tonight we'll hear those words as we receive the ashes. Repent and believe the good news. It's also important for us to take a moment to consider, well, what does it mean to repent? There's a lot more to it than the dictionary will tell you. As I shared with my people earlier, you know, I went online to see, well, how do they define repenting? Well, it's feeling sorry for our sins. Or it's feeling bad about the bad we've done. Or it's feeling remorse. And I look at that and I consider, well, sweet Jesus, has any one of these people actually cracked a Bible? Christ calls us to something more than just feeling bad for what we've done. He doesn't leave us there. He calls us to repentance, to a full act of repentance. Yes, we need to recognize what it is we need to change, but we also need to recognize what it is we need to change toward. It's not enough to say, okay, I was a glutton, especially when it came to soda. But we need to then do something about it. Christ is calling us to recognize that we have that opportunity. And we have that opportunity every day of our lives. Lent is particularly given to us to focus in on it. So what does fully repenting mean? Well, we acknowledge, yes, we are sinful people. We are, however, also grace-filled people, or we can be. We need to turn to our God and allow His grace to dwell within us and transform our lives. We need to recognize, and perhaps I'll use this example because maybe more of you will resonate with it. My mom, God bless her, if I ever have any question at any point of something I need to repent about, I just call mom. I had the pleasure, you know, last weekend I was doing something with the scouts and mom came to stay to watch my puppy for me and we were able to spend some time together before I went. And she always tells me, you know, Michael, that's what she calls me. You've got that road rage. I turn to her and say, oh, Ma, you know me. Rage doesn't come close, especially when that person in front of me is in the left lane doing 40 miles an hour when the speed limit is 50. Ooh, do I have some very unpriest-like thoughts and stayings at that point. Well, it's not enough to recognize. I need to do something about that. And oftentimes I remind myself that I should be praying for this person. And my prayer should be a little more substantive than, sweet Jesus, will you show them where the gas is? Okay? No, we need to make sure that when we recognize that there is something that pulls us away from Christ, that there is something that interferes with our relationship with God, that we are open to the grace to be able to make the changes necessary. And he will show us what it is we can do. Earlier today, at the Mass, there were a number of things that I presumed had already been taken care of before Mass began. And then I systematically found them out as Mass continued, what hadn't been done yet. I'm about to offer the sacrifice of the Mass. I pick up the dish that the bread's supposed to be in, and it's empty. I told the people there, I said, and this is what happens when you pray to God for more patience. He will give you the opportunity to exercise that virtue. I think I'm done with patience. No. But when we see those things that we need to change, we need to ask our God for that grace to help us make those changes. My doctor would be pleased and thrilled if I was to do what I know is necessary. And perhaps instead of taking the car, get out and walk. Not so much. My youngest brother is into all of these kind of distant running things. And he actually does with these tough mutters. I said, ever since he was a little boy, he liked playing in the mud. Now he races through it and gets medals for it. And on his Facebook page, he's a retired police officer, a retired Marine, but he wants to stay in shape because he knows what my family's prone to. And every once in a while, it shows up. Bob went for a 16.1 mile run, and it took him this long. And I would always comment, you know, Bob, I went for a 16.1 mile drive. It took me 5 minutes. But we need to be open to what it is that God is calling us to change. We need to be open to what it is that we already know we need to do differently. But because we are imperfect people, it is only with the grace of God that we will be able to accomplish what it is he's asking of us. So this evening, as you hear the words, repent and believe in the good news, know that the repentance is our part. But the good news is the fact that Christ has already accomplished it for us. Will give us the grace that we need to be that example that the world needs. I've said often, and I'll share with you again tonight, one of the things that we're called to is to look for opportunities to enter into deeper prayer. If you are ever in question as to what we should be praying about, turn on the news. Pick up the newspaper. You know, we shared before we began this evening, you know, there was a terrible tragedy down in Florida. Obviously, the world is in desperate need of people of prayer. And so we need to ask our God to allow us to be the people that the world needs. And we begin that journey. We begin again and again. But tonight, in a very real way, as we're marked with these ashes, as we hear those words, repent and believe in the good news, or repent and believe the good news, we have the opportunity to allow Christ to accomplish in and through us what the world is in need of. So this Lent, we could spend our time preparing for Easter, but not just preparing ourselves, but allowing God to use us to prepare the world more fully. Amen.